Accounted for Service is the title of today's exhortation. And today we have two thoughts. Counted, verse 21, 24 to 26, and Service, 22 to 23, 27 to 31. The tabernacle was built out of the contribution of God's people. God had endowed them with the needful resources when the children of Israel left Egypt. And there was willing, cheerful, liberal giving to ensure that worship could be established in 1446 BC. The tabernacle will be with Israel for the next 440 years. So they built only one tabernacle, one time. And this tabernacle is going to be with the nation for 440 years before they would build the temple. And Solomon's temple will be built when Israel would take from the Jebusites Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will be allotted as the capital of Israel. Faithful workmen were raised by God, filled with the spirit of wisdom, to work with the materials for the construction of the tabernacle. Those were pioneering days when the nation was still in its infancy. And you notice the superintending of God over the entire process, from the Exodus from Egypt as a people to the giving of the law at Sinai, and now the building of the dwelling place of God with his people. The work was done with instructions that God commanded Moses, and God raised the skilled workmen who followed the instruction as God had stipulated. What a magnificent work of God's leading. What was God doing for them? God was making for them a witness. Right? But in between, you remember last Lord's Day's weekly, the Israelites said, "Hey, in the wilderness, no food. You give us manna, we want melons." But they were slaves in Egypt. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. And you still want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Well, the Lord says that let us understand what a great work God had done to deliver us from the slavery, the bondage of sin, for Israel from slavery in Egypt. A great bondage, so that we would have the ability to be happy, the ability to have God's peace and joy in our heart, to have the freedom to worship God. Right? In Egypt, every place they turned, they saw an idol. Egypt had an idol for each day of the year. Right? So they were fully overwhelmed, and God had to take them out in order to free them from the devil, the clutches of the devil. You know, it is so great, this work of the devil. You remember the global flood, how the devil was so successful, right? So much so that the whole world was going to be overwhelmed. Then what happened? Well, God instructed will be built. God intervened in the nick of time. How many were saved? Only 8 were saved. Out of how many in the world? 1 billion people? All under the clutches of Satan. And this is what we are talking about here. When God established
seek to establish the nation of Israel. God wanted to have to first free them from the idolatry. Then God is able to allow them, to give them a place where they would be able to worship Him in peace, worship Him filled with joy in their hearts, without disturbance. God brought them through the wilderness. We said also in one of our weekly, He did not bring them through the way of the Philistines, right? Because the Lord said that lest when they see war, they become discouraged and they turn back to Egypt. God knows how much they could take. And so God brought them through the journey of the wilderness. And God, in the peace of the wilderness environment, rain manna from heaven, sent quails for meat, brought water out of the rock, and instructed them to build the tabernacle. And this is what we are seeing here. And the first thought, counted. Would you want to be counted as one of God's very own? That you belong to the kingdom of God. That you belong to the people of God. That you are a special people that God has set apart. God has set aside. God has brought unto a state of positional holiness. Because we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior. He has died for our sins and 3 days later rose again from the dead. Verse 21 tells us, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of testimony. What is the meaning of the word testimony? The word there means precept. It means the laws, representing the laws that God delivered through Moses to humanity. You know that the law of Israel is special. It undergird our modern law today. And this was the witness, you see, in the tabernacle, right, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant, would be placed the written law of God, written by God Himself. And so our text tells us in verse 21, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony. It was a witness of God to the world, and Israel would be that representative nation. Remember, after the flood came the gathering of men in the Tower of Babel, right? Men always sick in their fallenness to want their own way. So they don't want God. They don't want God's way. They sought their own way and they built a tower that goes all the way up to heaven. And God saw and God came and God confounded their languages. And they were all scattered. And then God, through Abraham, began the plan to win the scattered nations of the world, plagued with idolatry. The nation of Israel was raised for that purpose. And so the text tells us, even of the testimony, it was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Itamar, son to Aaron the priest. What was counted? Well, Itamar, the son of Aaron the priest, was in charge of receiving the materials from the people. And the people gave liberally, exceeding what was needed for the work. We saw this in Exodus chapter 36. Right? Moses said they received, and this workmen, right, verse chapter 36, received of Moses all the offerings, the giving, this giving, you realize that it's a service to God. That the word that means a service to God, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, so that they may be able to worship God. And the Lord wanted them to be a part of the worship of Him. See, so that He knows that, yeah, we belong to Him, and we have a responsible part in establishing that worship. And so they brought yet unto Him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work went on. And the people, Moses wrote, and the people brought much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. The Apostle Paul exhorts the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, and ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remain forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's interesting, right? The bit that Paul wrote, that it was for the ministering of the needs of the giver. Right? Something that we didn't think of, right? Because you know that every time you give something, you lose something, right? But we forgot that God is the one who gives us that, so that we can be a steward for Him. And for Israel to come out of Egypt, what did God say to Israel? Right. Go and ask of the Egyptians. So before they left Egypt, what did they do? Well, they got all these materials, right, that was needed. Did they have anything? They were slaves, they had nothing. Right. Possibly their cattle, the animals for their sacrifice, but not all this gold, silver, and brass that were needed to build the tabernacle. So God knows that they have this need to worship Him. And so God asked them. And God wanted, by doing that, well, it's actually a test for them. If they would be willing to be counted for the Lord, it's a test of their faith. It's a test of their spirituality. Right? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Well, how the Lord knows the need of the needy, right? And when the needy receive, what did they do? Well, they give thanks to God, right, for blessings, right, for all the benefactors. Right? Verse 24, all the gold that was occupied for the work, in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 20 and 9 talents, and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them were numbered of the congregation, 100 talents and 1,703.15 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. So this was the sum. Gold, 29 talents, 730 shekels. Silver, 100 talents, 1,775 shekels. Brass, 70 talents, 2,400 shekels. And the Lord spake unto Moses. This is in Exodus chapter 30. Remember when we were at Exodus chapter 30, this was mentioned. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses the purpose for this shekel, the purpose. And when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shalt thou give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. It's a ransom for their souls unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there may be no plague among them. Oh. When thou numberest them, this they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of a sanctuary. A shekel is a 20 gerahs. A half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. So everyone needs to be counted, right? And everyone that passes among them are numbered, right? And it is said that no one gives more, no one gives less. You have a lot more to give, you give only one shekel. Right? You have a lot less, also that same, you give that same amount. Okay. So the focus on this text was that every man above 20 years old would give this offering. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the souls. So the focus here is on the people of Israel. They were instructed to bring personally half a shekel of silver as an offering to make atonement for their souls. Only those who are redeemed are numbered and are consecrated for God's service, drafted into the army for war, and fulfill the duties of citizenship. Right? So Israel is going to become a nation. So this is a way by which the census is made. Right? Just like the identity card, right, that is issued to each citizen of a country after payment of a fixed fee. Right? We said this before. Failure to do so will incur God's wrath of a plague. When David numbered the people and did not gather the and he was not gathering an atonement money, right? It was out of pride. The result was a plague breaking out among the people. This sum of silver gathered from 603,550 men. So that's number of people, that men above 20 that came out of Egypt, were 100 talents and of silver and 1,775 shekels, which were used to make the sockets into which the boards of the tabernacle was let and on which they rested, so that they formed the foundation of the tabernacle. So you will look at your picture. The picture that is given there in the last page, or page 6 of your notes, you will be able to see there the material that was used. Right? You see in page 6, right, the holy place, there is a wall that is set up there, and this wall is made of gold, made of the gold. And then if you look at the tabernacle itself on the outside, there are a lot of pillars. All the pillars are made of metal. Right? So this was to be used for this purpose. And verse 26 says, every abikah for every man, A bikkah for every man, a bikkah, that is half a shekel. A bikkah is half a shekel. After the shekel of the sanctuary, we said earlier, a shekel is 20 gerahs. So a bikkah is 10 gerahs. Okay. For everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upwards, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and of the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. So you see, wow, a lot of material needed, right, for the construction. A.W. Pink, he rightly pointed out, he says, Jehovah commanding his people to give every nation a ransom. Every man a ransom. This ransom was a monetary one, a half a shekel of silver, and it was in order to make atonement for their souls. But this seems so utterly foreign to the general tone and tenor of scriptures. Right? You don't pay for your salvation. How our present passage has to be harmonized. He said, well, in Isaiah 55 verse 1, without money and without price. How can we interpret it so as not to clash with 1 Peter 1:18? For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. It does not teach that salvation is bought by the payment of money. Rather, the payment signifies that one is being counted or accepted and brought before God by faith, who has received redemption for sin. So it's not an exorbitant amount. It's just the same amount. You remember Jesus gave the reward of the one coin, right, to everyone who came for the service. He gave that same coin to the one that came earlier, the one that came later, also the same. I noticed that it's a fixed amount, individually offered, regardless of their financial standing, and here, each Israelite 20 years old must give this half shekel, 10 gira, a bikkah, and how much are we talking about? Okay, a shekel is a basically estimated to be about 11 grams. Okay, 11 grams. Right, so half a shekel is about 5 grams, 5 to 6 grams, okay, of silver. And there are 3,000 shekels to the talent. Okay, so the talent is discovered to about 28 to 30 kg. 28 to 30 kg. So we are talking about 100 talents. And so so you can multiply that. Multiply that, put a two zeros behind. So it's 2,800 to 3,000 kilograms of silver. And they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered. So the emphasis here is on the numbering of the people. Why? Because they are going to be counted and drafted later on as citizens and for war. Half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. And the word atonement used means to cover over, to pacify, to make propitiation, that wrath may be averted. So this atonement money is symbolic of the act of God's atonement being made effectual for that individual personally when he's being counted as covered over by the blood sacrifice offered. So each of us must come to Christ ourselves to repent of our sins and to turn to Christ for salvation. And this is the only way by which one would be accepted by God. Otherwise, a plague would befall them. And so here, when the atonement money is given, it is not to teach salvation by works, but redemption that meets God's requirement as He has stipulated. Just like the order for the Syrian general Naaman. You remember he was plagued with leprosy and he didn't know what to do, and he went to God's prophet, and God's prophet wouldn't even come and receive him and just said to him, "You go to the Jordan River and wash yourself." Then he said, "What? I'm a general of the Syrian army. What a great man I am. And the rivers in my country are so much better. You ask me to wash in this muddy Jordan River?" You know, I'm not worthy of my... So then someone said to him, "Oh, if that can heal you, why not?" God's way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. To the world, it is mocked. But to us, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so what did Naaman do? Naaman went to the Jordan River, and he dipped himself inside 7 times. And then the Bible says that his skin became like that of a baby. Right? Soft and restored, healed. The way of salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way. And the bringing of the atonement money signifies that the man who came is counted as atoned for in the sacrificial system that God has established. What is the sacrificial system? Well, this tabernacle, right, is the sacrificial system that God will inaugurate, right, whereby they would be bringing their animals for sacrifice. Right, that giving is to say that they agree, and they want to be counted, right, to be a part of that system. Okay, so every eligible Israelite above the age of 20 is granted the privilege. And it's appropriated by faith when each one will bring half a shekel to be counted as redeemed. So this establishment of the tabernacle for the worship of God was a precursor of the redemption that Christ will accomplish on the cross for the sins of men. Apostle Paul said in Romans 3, 20 to 26, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus." So the setting up of the tabernacle and the giving of the people is significant, right? It's significant. A.W. Pink, he rightly said here that there is no unimportant question that here that is evidenced by the fact that the fourth book of the Old Testament is designated Numbers. Right? Numbers. Its title being taken from the numbering of the children of Israel for war, for ministry, and for inheritance in Canaan. And so the giving of this ransom money was connected with the numbering of Israel. Right? They had to be counted. Right? Notice the word there five times in Numbers verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, and that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them, and they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of a sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerah. Half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord, every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years above shall give an offering unto the Lord. And so we said this numbering is for war, is for ministry, and is for inheritance in Canaan. Having been counted as one of God's very own, we are numbered, prepared, consecrated for service in his vineyard. And so that is what the Lord said to Moses in Numbers 1:1. And the Lord said unto Moses in the wilderness, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they come out from Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poll, from 20 years old and upward, and all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every head of the house of his fathers. So the census, like the identity card number, makes us counted for citizenship, and also means that when a man comes of age, he will be drafted into the army for service. As God's children, we are consecrated, as it were, for service. Spurgeon insightfully observed. He says, every man that is numbered among the children of Israel and permitted to serve God by going out to war, to take upon him the duties of citizenship, must, as he is numbered, be redeemed. So must every one of us, if we are truly God's people and God's servants, find our right to be so in the fact of our redemption by Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the entry point. Huh? Come to Jesus, freely given by God. And this is the joy and glory of each one of us. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So this redemption money was a contribution for the laying of the foundation of the tabernacle. The people of God being counted for him, consecrated for his service, and contributed to the service of the tabernacle. Spurgeon again rightly observed for us that the tabernacle was a type of the church of God as the place of divine dwelling. The true church is founded upon redemption. Every board of shittim wood was tenoned and mortised into the sockets of silver made of the redemption money, and every man that is in the church of God is united to Christ, rested upon Christ, and cannot be separated from him. Christ is the sure foundation of the church. To be united to Christ by faith is to be built upon a sure foundation. His church shall never be overthrown, let the devil send what hurricane he may. Matthew Henry rightly said, those who have the benefit of God's tabernacle among them must be willing to defray the expenses of it and not grudge the necessary charges of public worship. Thus, we must honor the Lord with our substance and reckon that the best laid out, which is laid out in the service of God. Money indeed cannot make an atonement for the soul, but it may be used for the honor of him who hath made the atonement and for the maintenance of the gospel by which the atonement is applied. So you see here there is a lot of meaning, right? as we study this, to understand what we are doing today, right, how we are functioning today. Right, there is a spiritual foundation there. So the first thought counted, right? Verse 21, 24, and 26. The second thought, service, verse 22 to 23, 27 to 31. And verse 22 says, and Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him were Aholiab, the son of Elishamak, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and in fine linen. So God raised faithful workmen, skillful workmen for the construction of the tabernacle. They were filled with the Spirit of God to implement the blueprint for the construction of the tabernacle. They were filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. What a blessing. The spiritual man can accomplish much for God when God chooses to endow so that his work can progress. And so verse 27 of our text says, and the 100 talents of silver were cast, the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, talent for the socket, and of the 1,000, even 775 and 5 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid the chapiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the brazen altar, and the brazen grate for it, and all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about. So the metals were for the foundation of the tabernacle, for the walls of the holy place, for the sockets and the poles of the tabernacle, of the court, and the brazen altar, and the brazen grate. What a privilege it is to be counted and enlisted in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May God's people serve with faithfulness and zeal according to knowledge.